Everybody here? All right. Good morning and welcome to the April 12th, 2018 Code Enforcement Board meeting. The meeting will now come to order. May we have a roll call, Madam Secretary?
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Curry?
Here.
Mr.
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Ms. House?
Here.
Ms. Himes?
Ms. Himes is absent. Motion to excuse. We have a motion. Motion from Mrs. House, second from Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Here. All right. Has every... Has everybody had a chance to read the minutes? All right. We're going to have a correction to the minutes on page 12, number 19. Yeah, of the minutes, for the March minutes. Case number 19, CEB 0318-31, Coalition Against Hunger. Disposition of this case. This case was continued to the April 19, 2018 Code Enforcement Board meeting. That is going to be changed to?
May 10th.
May 10th. That was just a typo. It should say May 10th. All right, so with that correction, are there others? Any others? All right. Motion to accept?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington, second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Does anyone need to disclose any ex parte communication? All right. Do we have any announcements, Madam Secretary?
The following cases are in compliance. Case number 4, which is 0188-100 Carolina Bike Drive, is in compliance. 4-11-18. Case number 12, which is 03-18-29-824 Congress Street, is in compliance. 4-5-2018. Case number 18 is in compliance. It's 04-1837-609 Tasson Avenue, in compliance. 4-4-2018. Case number 19 is in compliance. It's 04-1838, compliance. 4-9-18-4630 Holmes Avenue. Case number 20 is in compliance. 04-1839 at 606 Lincoln Street, in compliance. 4-4-2018. And case number 23 is in compliance, which is 04-1842 at 1008 South Ridgewood Avenue, compliance with 4-9-18.
Madam Chairman, I have a question for the Secretary.
Yes.
I have two copies of lien review number one, and I do not have a copy of lien review number two in my packet.
They look the same.
Check the number on it.
That one is.
Oh, it is.
One says case number SMG0207.
Oh, okay, it's the same.
Same address. Well, yeah, we'll need to figure that out anyway.
Oh,
okay.
All right. I got it.
Okay. Right. Would code officers please come forward and be sworn in?
You solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you are about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, everyone, here's our procedure. We will be calling cases by number and, for the most part, in orders they are listed in the agenda. If there are any police officers that need to get back to assignments, we'll hear those cases first. And if there are any lawyers that need to get to court, we will hear those cases first. I know we have one case. What case number is it?
Five.
So we're going to hear case number five, and then everything else will come in order. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the microphone. The board hears from code officers first, and then the respondents will be given the opportunity. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify. So if this goes on longer than 11, then any of you that are left would come forward at 11 o'clock. We'll take a little break, and we'll take your cases of anyone that's here. And if people aren't here, we'll hear those cases afterwards. All right, so let's start with case number 5. This is CEB 0118-01. Vishnu Limited at 1000 North Atlantic. Respondent present? Okay, please come forward.
Morning.
Good morning.
Michael Cicchetti on behalf of Vishnu Limited. I have also with me Pramila Desai, who's a representative of Vishnu Limited.
Okay.
And we are waiting on Eric from R&R Roofing to come and address one of the violations here, the roof. And drainage.
Okay. That person's not here, though, yet.
Okay. Apparently not.
All right. Okay. We're here today for an imposition of a fine. Mr. Klieg, or Mr. Jackson, want to come forward and talk about this?
No, Madam Chair, is he saying that he has more than he wants presented and not here? Did he want to delay until he had up everyone that he wanted to present?
There are some issues I would like to address.
Well, we're only going to hear the case one time, so
well,
if you want to,
and hopefully
he'll be here by the time we're
right. There are some recent developments that I should address, and that go more towards resolution of the issue. This past Friday, the property was posted.
Right, hold on. Let's get a background here.
Okay.
And catch up to where we are.
Well, good morning, Madam Chair.
Good
morning, Madam Chair.
Good morning.
Members of the board, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. And as I said, this is case number 5, 1000 North Atlantic Avenue. This has been before you. It's before you today for imposition of a fine. The violations, failure to maintain the roof, windows, balconies, and then we've had these continued issues of the property being unsecured and our concerns with the unsecured pool and other unsecured portions of the property. As you may recall, it has been informed that there have been issues of transients and so forth in the property, and the condition has been of challenge. Since our last meeting, they've also had a couple of fires on the property. The chief building official has issued a condemnation, and so the property is currently condemned with an order for them to remedy or demolish within 30 days, I believe is the general language of the order. The recommendation from staff regarding this current status, there has been no real change in status, nothing of any significance. And as you may recall, there's been information from the attorney, and I know there was a thought last time that they were before you of maybe going for a fine, but not really understanding why the attorney wasn't present and having get that opportunity to hear why they or what they were doing. But the circumstance regarding the property, as you recall, I think there were some issues of they were having mediation, they have some insurance issues, all those things. I'll leave them to explain. As far as the perspective of the city, though, is that this property, they've done very little to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of Daytona Beach. And we understand this has been a property that's been in disrepair for now some time. And the request of the staff is that a $1,000 fine be imposed to a maximum of, and I don't see my maximum. Did you have a maximum? To a maximum of $45,000.
And the fine stops when they tear it down, according to the ruling?
Demolition would remedy the violations that we have.
Okay. I remind everybody this has been going on for exactly 1 year.
And I tend to Mr. Klieg, if you have any factual questions.
Do you have anything else to add, Mr. Klieg?
Yes, ma'am. Good morning. Officer Klieg, my credentials are on file. If you remember last hearing, you stated that the should have been in compliance by the cutoff date, which would have been 4-4 of this month. Attorney called me, I think, about 10 days ago when we, and I didn't hear from him on the 15th of March. He was supposed to get with the mediation. I didn't know the results. He told me that they were still having issues with the insurance company. Ironically, on the 4th, I've got a copy if you need to see the fire report that was arson to a couple of rooms. Manager Sykes went out on site about, I think, 6:30 at night and did a site inspection along with the fire department. The following day, that's when the building official got involved and issued a condemnation of the building. Nothing currently has been done. I've got more cases coming up in reference. You always suggested the pool. That's next month's hearing. But my concern was that that these permits were issued. I think the attorney is going to talk about R&R roofing on the 31st of July. Building department issued a pass for the in progress of the roofing, but an actual final was not done to the roof. So there was no. Go ahead.
My question is, didn't we ask that the city secure the pool if they didn't within
right, but
a certain number?
The original citation wasn't for the pool. That's why this new citation was there, and it should be in front of you in the next month's hearing. The attorney said that he didn't think there was much water in it, but obviously this last picture you've seen.
I'm a little confused. Yeah, when we ask the city to do something because it's a matter of health and safety, even though wasn't specifically on the violation notice.
Yes, two issues,
okay,
Madam Chair, regarding that. I'll remind the board and you, Madam Chair, that the that they weren't cited specifically for the pool, but the way that the board addressed it was that they were required to secure the property as a whole,
right,
which included making sure that the safety and security of the pool was covered. Y'all did address that, and
right,
they did authorize the city, because there's no authority for the board to order the city,
right,
to take action.
Correct.
And the manner in which the city would take those actions would start with a condemnation. So the city is taking actions to try and remedy these circumstances to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens.
Okay.
Could Officer Klieg, I'm having a hard time seeing those. Could you explain the pictures as they come up?
And I will object to the introduction of these photographs. These photographs were taken more recently.
Would you please come up to the microphone?
These photographs were taken on 4-4-4-5, and these are as a result of the break-in and arson of two of the guest rooms at the property. So these photographs do not depict the violations that this board is here for today. Now, certainly we want to work with the board, but there is a process here, and we're here today for roofs and drainage, stairways, decks, windows, skylights, and door frames. And so while I do want to have a constructive conversation, I also want to keep these issues neatly in their boxes. And if we are here to discuss this notice, my preference is to discuss this notice and more globally, what can the property owner do to achieve a balance between securing their property, restoring their property, and doing it timely to the satisfaction of this board.
Has there been a new list of violations? Is there new?
There is a new list, and I believe we're on next month's agenda for those.
Yeah, there's a new list for the trash and debris for the pool and also the structural members on the exterior.
Madam Chair, if I could just speak in response to our counsel. If we were at the stage of determining compliance or noncompliance, then I would agree with the counsel that as far as the scope of what we discuss. But we're here at the stage of imposition of a fine where now it's time for the board to look at all circumstances and all circumstances related to this property in determining what's a reasonable and appropriate fine. The egregiousness, the efforts of the respondent to come into compliance, and the overall nature of what we have here. Things like fires occurring, transients constantly staying or living in the property and overtaking the property are relevant issues in determining the severity and significance of the status of this property and the need for it to come into compliance.
Mr. Klieg, did the fire department state whether the fires were started from inside the property?
Yes, sir.
It's not secure.
The property was insecure, but if you need a copy of the fire department report, it was started by arson and in an insecure room. That's why the picture I wanted to advise was where you could see the window was shattered, where the room was started fire, and that's how entry was gained. So the
It's still not secure.
The north fence, and they were having problems issues with by the beach side approach where people's transients were pushing down. It's just construction fence, cyclone fence.
And did the city tell the property owner that they must secure this property?
That's
on record.
Yes.
And they did not do it, which led to this fire.
And that's why, like I said, these windows weren't. Some of them were still busted out from the prior incident from the violation back in April, and then now recently was this April when Officer Sykes went out to.
Thank you.
Okay.
I would also like to hear from the building official.
Okay.
Before we.
All right. Mr. Urquhart, good morning.
Good morning. Glenn Urquhart, Chief Building Official.
One of the questions. You know that it is pertaining to this is on the roof, and you've decided for the demolition of the property. The roof inspection has gone from with the city or an outside.
The inspection was done by John Bowden. It's an in-progress drying inspection, and on a roof that size, we would do in-progress until we get to the point where they actually a finished product. From the last inspection, there was never another inspection called in, so therefore the permit expired. So you have an expired permit at that time, and then it would be the duty of the permit holder to reinstate it or ask the building official if they could go ahead and reinstate it, but nothing was ever done on it. It was just left hovering out there as expired. There wasn't any work being done on it.
Because the permit was pulled in over a course of, what, a year is when the permit expired?
Yes, I believe. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Mr. Cicchetti, what would you like to say?
First, I would like to invite Representative R&R Roofing to explain the work that was done to the property.
When? The recent work that's been done to the property?
This work, the dry-in, would have been accomplished, and I would defer to his...
Okay, well, let's hear from him then. Thank you. We're going to move this along.
Understood.
My name is Eric Freight, 31 Oak Brook Drive, Ormond Beach.
I do.
And you've been hired by Vishnu Limited to do the roof work, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. Tell us what's going on with that roof.
We pulled a permit. We tore
when?
Up. I'm not sure where the date
is. You don't have to have
it. It was a year ago.
A year ago. Okay.
And we tore off the roof and put it in a dry-in state. The only reason we didn't call...
Would you explain the dry-in state?
Completely covered the entire roof with a sturdy SBS-modified membrane. That should last more than a year. Normally, it's the first layer of something that we put on for a 20-year roof.
Okay.
And the only reason we didn't call a final is because we're under the assumption we're going to pour lightweight on top of that and put a thermoplastic roof on top of it. So we're going to modify the permit when we move forward with the project.
When did you do the work? You pulled the permit a year ago. When did you do the work?
It was probably about, finished it about 5 or 6 months ago.
And why did you not then, at that point, go get the rest of the permit or finish the work?
The owners were wanting to tie in the mechanical work that's involved with the roof. I've been having a hard time getting subcontractors to do mechanical work. But all the roofing stuff, you know, we're ready to go.
Do you have anything else to add?
No, I have some questions.
Wait a minute, I have a question for the roofer. Now, you're talking about the mechanicals, you're talking about the air conditioning, and putting them on the roof. But the roof was, when you put the membrane on it, it was dried in totally.
Yes, the whole 100%.
So the mechanicals, was it shored up properly underneath of it?
Yes.
To support the weight and everything?
Yes.
And it was just the lack of the mechanical contractor?
Yeah. I was asked by the owners to also include mechanical work, and we used to do mechanical work also.
Are you licensed?
We were.
That's not, so you're not licensed?
We aren't anymore. During that time, we closed our mechanical division.
Okay.
But he is a licensed roofer.
Okay.
But not mechanical.
But not mechanical.
That's correct.
But you haven't been able to find anybody in 5 months.
No. I've gotten some people, but they never finished up their numbers and gave me a solid number and said, yes, this is what we're going to do, and we're 100%. So I've been talking to several, and they've given me several different options, but nothing that's going to bring them up to 100%.
Can I ask something about
that? Sure. Please, Mr. Jackson.
My inspector's notes indicate that you had your inspection on the roof on July 31st, which would have been almost a year ago. Was that probably more accurate in terms of time? Okay, not just 5 months ago.
Well, in the middle of hurricane work.
And
just to be clear here, as of July 31st, John Bowden with the City of Daytona Beach did a dry-in inspection. So whether or not this board finds R&R's testimony credible, the city itself has admitted that via that inspection that the roof was watertight as of July 31st. Now, you have R&R's testimony that roof is watertight for at least a minimum of 1 year. So I would respectfully submit to the board that the first violation regarding the roof, and I understand that there's three violations, but again, these are the three violations before you, and I must address them in turn. And so the first violation relative to the roof does not stand. The city's own inspector inspected that roof and gave it a dry-in.
When did they... Well, I'm going
as
to
of July
ask,
31st, which predates...
I'm going to ask Mr. Urquhart this question. When did the city inspect that roof? And what did the inspection say? And when was the next inspection due?
July 31st is when John Bowden did the inspection.
Okay.
It's an in-progress inspection that he did, which an in-progress just says exactly that. It's an in-progress inspection. So they would have to call in another inspection for a dry-in to get the final dry-in, not a final. But your dry-in would be complete at that point. Then you would get a roof final. But it's not typical to leave a roof open that long. I mean, that's a long duration. Usually, even though it's a large roof, you wouldn't leave it open since July 31st. I mean, and that's the last time as far as the work being done. Here we are in April, working towards May, and approaching a year, you just don't leave, even though they're saying we did the inspection. We don't guarantee that a roof is watertight with an in-progress inspection.
Sure.
Any guarantee?
So it's called an in-progress inspection, and when should they have had another inspection?
When they completed the dry-in. So upon completion of the dry-in, so if they completed it 30 days later, they should have called in for a dry-in.
So in your opinion, it was not, the dry-in was not complete.
Yes.
It was an in.
Well, now,
hold on. Okay.
So basically, there's never been a final inspection on that roof.
No.
Yeah, a roof final, that's the inspection that would close this permit out. A roof final has never been called in, just the in-progress dry-in. And we do in-progresses to accommodate people because we work in a rainy state. So you get an in-progress, but you still have to finish that dry-in inspection.
Okay.
You know, and the contention is what they're saying is it's viable for 1 year. Yes, it is. But it's not complete. It was never meant to be exposed for that long. Even though that it's, you're saying it could be viable, but under weather conditions, it's never been approved for being that long. And I'm well familiar with the material.
Please, if you're going to testify, please come up here. Thank you.
For the product approvals, you're correct. According to Florida product approvals.
Absolutely.
But the only other inspection that we're required to with that permit would be a final. An in-progress and a final.
But
and in-progress and a final is what I heard you testify to.
An in-progress and then a final to close out the permit.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Cicchetti.
Could I ask, are the windows and the balcony still in question?
What's the board's pleasure as far as addressing these issues?
Quickly.
I understand, but there are also questions that I would still like to ask of city officials regarding the roof. And so,
oh, all right, go on.
I'll answer your question. You may.
Everything's a non-compliance still. So.
Everything is. So we're just talking about one of the three issues.
Windows haven't been done. Balconies haven't been started. No permit's been pulled on them.
So I don't quite understand what the intention is to restore this building.
Well,
is that,
if I may, my initial goal here today was going to suggest, since there is a pending demolition order, I understood at my last appearance before this board that I was to come to the April meeting to update as to settlement negotiations.
I think that at the last meeting, which was the March meeting, there was supposed to have been a progress report.
Yes.
And you sent it to Mr. Klieg. And was there any progress at that time?
So my understanding was when I attended the February meeting.
Yes.
I was for purposes of the March meeting was to provide an update to Mr. Klieg, which he would report to the board because I had a conflict on that day. And admittedly, settlement negotiations with insurance carriers on this scope of and extent of damage do not occur over a period of 30 days. So my understanding was I was supposed to provide an update to Mr. Klieg. He would report to the board, and I would appear for the April meeting, which I am here today. Now, with that said, we were very close to resolving the issues with the insurance carrier.
I think I remember. I recall that you said within 15 days you were going to have a meeting with the insurance company.
Right.
And did you have that meeting?
Well, we were having settlement negotiations.
Settlement negotiations. Okay.
Okay. Ms. Kundig, I'm being only candid with you, and I am being only honest with
you.
It may not be enough for you, but I am only being honest with you, and we are only human, okay? We are trying our best to resolve the issues with the insurance carrier, okay? These are not easy issues. They are not resolved overnight. We were very close to having a resolution of these matters. However, we had to suspend those negotiations because a demolition order was issued on this property on Friday. Now, if I'm doing my duty to my client, I must suspend the settlement negotiations, even though we were a hair apart, because now the scope of potential damages to this property has increased dramatically. The city has gone from requiring this property to be fixed to being torn down and rebuilt up from the ground. And so, with that threat over us, we had to suspend settlement negotiations with the insurance carrier because now we don't know if our damages are X or if they're Y. And I'm trying to set a meeting with the building official to determine The exact extent of renovations that are going to be required by the city, but we simply do not have enough time. I had a meeting scheduled with Mr. Klieg at the property for Friday at 1:30. That meeting was canceled because of the pending demolition order. So now, in a sense, our hands are tied because we have the threat of a $1,000 a day fine from this code enforcement board. In the meantime, we have the building department saying, thou must tear down this building. And so we have fines on the one hand, we have a building department saying, tear down your building, and on the other hand, I have an insurance carrier that I was literally a cat's hair away from settling the case with to get this property restored.
I guess it depends on your definition of cat's hair, huh?
Well, I'm not here to make snarky comments
or
remarks. This is a serious issue, and it should be addressed seriously. I'm not here to make offhand comments. Okay. I'm not here to disparage anybody. I'm here to tell the truth, and I'm here to advocate for my client.
Okay.
And so,
I get that.
And obviously, you are upset, Madam Chair, but I will.
I think the board and the entire city is upset.
Certainly.
And I want you to understand why we're upset so it doesn't appear snarky.
I'm simply telling you where we are.
The intentions, we can't determine the intentions of anyone here. We can only look at what's been done and what hasn't been done. And the fact that there are people going in there and starting fires and that pool is open, the whole place is not secure.
I'll object to your testimony and your characterization. The property actually has a 6-foot fence around the property that the homeless are, in fact, breaking down that fence, and we are constantly repairing that fence. The windows have constantly been boarded up. Those boards have been constantly removed, and additional windows have been broken. So I'm not telling this board that I don't want to work with this board. I'm not telling this board that there aren't issues at that property. There certainly are. What I'm telling this board is please have some compassion. Please do not disparage a property owner that has been working hard with fighting with an insurance carrier, and now on top of it, we're fighting with a code enforcement board that we want to work with, and we're fighting with a building official who clearly we want to work with. We want to strike a balance. Offhand comments don't get us there.
Okay.
This is what I will say. If we are reviewing the actual notice against this property, Vishnu has been cited for exterior conditions, roof, and drainage. You have testimony in front of you that R&R dried this roof in and the city inspected that dry-in as of July 31st. There has been not one bit of testimony from the city that subsequent to July 31st, any representative of the city of Daytona Beach went on the roof of this property and identified any failures in that roof membrane. You have not heard any testimony that there has been any observation within the property that water is getting within the wall cavities or within those rooms. Now, you are literally citing for roof and flashing will be sound tight and not have defects that admit rain. That is the violation. The violation is not that a permit was pulled and a final was not obtained. The law is a technical thing. I'm not trying to get by on a technicality here. We understand that there are issues. But if the city is not going to work with us, candidly, I have to point out the defects in the pleading and the notice. And that is your defect. You admittedly have, on July 31st, the city inspecting for a dry-in. It's approved on a dry-in. And now we have a violation saying that it's not dried in. You would need to have somebody go on that roof and find a defect to cite them under this provision. As far as window, skylight, and door frame, to the extent a homeless person broke a door, broke a window, those were continually remediated from the date of Hurricane Matthew to the present time. Admittedly, more doors are being broken into, more windows are being broken into. I have the property owner who can testify to that. But what this citation is, this citation cannot cite for things going forward. Meaning, if the door to room 101 is broken, this citation can cite that. If that door to room 101 is broken and then someone breaks the door to room 102, it can't be addressed by this citation.
If there's a condemnation on the property and it's to be torn down within 30 days, all of this stuff disappears. Is that what the intentions of...
Absolutely not.
Absolutely
not.
Their intention is to try to restore this property?
The intention is to appeal that order, to secure an engineer, to work with the city of Daytona Beach. And again, please don't misconstrue my tone. Please don't misconstrue my tearing into the sufficiency of this notice.
It's not about you.
We want to work with the city. We are asking for a reprieve. You must understand. At this point, and I said this the first time I appeared before this board, I am fighting with an insurance company, a code enforcement board, and now a building department. I don't want to fight with everybody. I want to work with and craft a resolution.
But you understand why. I mean, just looking at those pictures, which you have objected to. But
I objected because they aren't
from the outside.
I object because they are subsequent to the violation date, so they're not relevant.
The pool issue is relevant.
And nobody could have actually accessed that pool because of the 6-foot chain link fence. So as a matter of due process, the code enforcement officer could not have made it to that point to photograph the pool because access to the property is blocked. Again, I'm not trying to be hyper-technical with the law. That's not my intent here. I want to work with this board. But if I'm going to...
What in your mind, working with the board mean?
My intention here today was to at least present the Eric's testimony that this roof was dried in. So the board could have some understanding that this isn't a property where no efforts have been made. Because that's what I heard, was that nothing has been done since Hurricane Matthew, when in fact we dried it in. That is typical and customary in my business where an insurance company fights, you put a temp roof on there to mitigate your damages and try to preserve the property best you can. A temp roof was put on the property. A 6-foot security fence was put around the property by AAA fence. At this point, we also have off-duty police officers at the property from 10 p.m. until 6 a.m., so we have them there at night to secure the property, to take care of the trespassing issues. We are in the process of boarding up additional broken windows. I've discussed it with Mr. Clegg. I was going to address it with the building official whether it would be prudent to just plywood over the entire first floor of the property. And we're doing our best to secure the property, to address these issues. We are going to appeal the demolition order. We do not feel as though the building needs to be demolished. Of course, my opinion will defer to a structural engineer. That's what is required. And I think Mr. Urquhart will agree with me that ultimately he will look to see what a structural engineer will propose for the rehabilitation of the structure, if in fact it can be salvaged.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Jackson.
And so my proposal is this. Allow us to have a meeting with the building official and to come up with a plan to secure the property, to free the property of vagrants, to clean it up aesthetically from the outside as best as possible, defer any fine, bring us back again next month, and at that time, if additional progress has not been made, then at that point we can discuss a fine. But in all candor, ideally, I would not object to a monthly status report, but as far as fines, that's not helping the problem. We're already in an impossible position, mostly because you can't put a roof on your house if you don't have money. It's no different if it's a house or a hotel. If you don't have money, you don't have the money. And so I think if this story came out in the news journal that it was a home as opposed to a hotel, if you read a story in a news journal about a family losing their home and that their home would have to be demolished because their insurance company didn't pay for a roof subsequent to a catastrophe, I think everybody would be sympathetic. But you put it in the context of a hotel and it's a business and there's not a person behind it that is visible and it's teared down.
Well, I beg to differ with you. This board is very conscious of the dilemma that this family are in with this hotel and our request for them to secure it. Obviously, they weren't able to do that or it wouldn't have been breached. We want to help everyone that comes here, and we give them a lot of opportunities to bring it up to code or to do the simple things that are asked of them. And making this pool and the building safe so it's not a public hazard has not been done effectively. I believe there were attempts. I understand the dilemma that they're in with the insurance company. That's unexcusable. But we can only deal with what we see and what everybody else sees when they walk by that building. And no matter how much you ask for an extension, if, you know, it's already been extended over a year, and the things that were asked for originally still are not secure.
And Ms. Howard, I appreciate the sympathy. It's, you know, that goes a long way for the property owner to understand the situation that they're in. What I'll say is this. My charge from the last time when I was here was to come back before this board and advise that the settlement had been reached with the insurance carrier. And whether
that's
I used
the last month.
February.
Yeah.
And we were within inches, if we don't like the within
okay,
a cat's hair,
yeah.
We were within inches of settling. It effectively would have settled. But for the demolition order being put on the property, because now that potentially increases the damages. So the settlement negotiations aren't completely off the table, but they certainly have stopped pending a more thorough understanding of what it's going to take to get this property back to its pre-loss condition per the billing official.
And
so, which is understandable. I'm not faulting him for doing his job.
It could
but
go on forever, though. That's the way it's been with a lot of these insurance companies.
I respectfully
disagree. Problems that are there are still there, and they haven't been addressed. The only options we have are to fine if they're not the compliance is not met.
And I would remind this board that the goal is exactly what you said, compliance.
You know,
the goal isn't fines.
You know, one of the things that that's come up here, and if your clients would have taken precaution from the very beginning to secure the area, over the months we've talked about cleaning up the area. They took no responsibility of that and didn't do anything. They didn't secure it so where it was able for somebody to breach the building. You know, they've got security after the fact. The change is you didn't have the building secure. That enabled somebody to either break in or to go in and to start a fire. That's changed the scope of it. Although that this isn't what's on the agenda for today. It's a fact that your clients haven't been responsible on the building. They haven't been responsible to the city of Daytona Beach.
And
that's what they've not done.
And with all due respect, there is a 6-foot chain link fence around the property, and all the openings have been secured. So I don't want to muddy the waters or the transcript here. What really happened was in the middle of the night, somebody cut the fence, breached the fence, broke into the room either by breaking a door or a window. In this instance, it was actually getting a crowbar and prying open the door. So to the extent that the property was not secure, it's not secure just as any home in Daytona Beach is not secure, in that somebody can walk up to a property, break the fence or jump the fence, break a window, and break into the property. And so that's really what we're looking at here. And if the board, I know the board wants to wrap up the testimony, I can't have the property owner testify that the windows were constantly boarded, and it's a constant cat and mouse game with this property that one window would be broken, one part of the fence would be breached, they repair it, and the next day something else would happen, or a week later something else would happen. And so it's a not to use a boardwalk term, but it's a whack-a-mole. Yeah, one day room 101 is broken into, the next day room 105 is broken into. And so to remedy that, we have hired off-duty police.
Don't you think that would...
And that would seem to be the only way to stop this problem, because obviously we can't build Fort Knox there.
But it is your obligation to make sure it's secure in whatever means available.
Agreed, but our obligation isn't to make the property burglar-proof. And just like your home at home, it's not burglar-proof. Somebody could break into your home at any moment.
Now, right. Your obligation is to make it safe for the public. That's your obligation, and obviously you have.
And my suggestion to this board is we hear you loud and clear. There's nothing more clear than the building department's demolition order. We would ask that if a fine is considered, my suggestion and the way I've done this in the past is if certain remedial action is not taken within a prescribed amount of time, say 6 months, then a fine would be imposed. And I would ask to table this matter pending discussion between myself, Mr. Clegg, building official, and the city attorney, and so we can craft an agreed order for this board's consideration, which does the best.
Okay, excuse me, but we have spent almost 45 minutes on this one case, and I would like to know what our options are, Mr. Jackson. My understanding is we're here to impose a fine for the three violations that still exist. Is that correct?
You're here to impose a fine on a case that has not been remedied.
Correct.
So the violations still exist. Madam Chair, I feel somewhat disadvantaged in not being able to answer a lot of the things that were said. I mean, this is a record being built. I have a chief building official who can testify that he's gone to this property and that he's interacted with individuals on the property who are, say, they're living on the fourth floor. He had observations that were consistent with that, that this is a constant stay on the property by vagrants, trespassers, whatever he wants to define them. It's clear that in January, on record, it was recommended that they make this property a trespasser rest site. That was never done. The notation that it's now a duty officer on that was just done last week or within a matter of a few days. That's not something that had been done, and it was available to him ever since this has come up. At the own admission of the attorney himself, this has been since Hurricane Matthew. This has come up by this staff, giving them almost a year until April for us to have a first contact to ask for compliance. And from April until today, there's been minimal done or to reach satisfaction of safety and well-being. The property in June is when they had pulled permits to start a roof. In July, they had a first dry-in on inspection. And since July, there's been nothing that brought our inspectors out. The position of the staff is that there's a need for this to get remedied, and it's not. I would ask, just because I want on record for Mr. Earhart to come on over here and to give you advice as to what he believes would be the minimal amount of time to accomplish compliance, which I believe, from my conversation with him, the easiest compliance and most immediate compliance is demolition, and it can be done in 30 days. But I'll ask Mr. Earhart to...
Okay, Mr. Earhart, please come forward. I want to make sure everybody... Mr. Klieg, are you going to want to say anything after Mr. Earhart? Okay.
I would ask one thing. I still haven't heard the condition of the balconies. Are they falling down, or what is that violation?
Well, you still have, they're still falling down, as well as a lot of structural cracking going in on the supports, especially in your lobby section. The cracks are vertical from the supports all the way up to the second floor. I want to make it kind of clear that when we come in is when public safety has been breached. And we were confronted several times on the property just by tourists stating to us that they're being harassed and confronted by the homeless. And there's three buildings to the south that have just been remedied, and they've done a great job. And so you got the tourists coming in, but then they're being harassed by the homeless. So we came out and we followed after the fire department and the police department, which was last week. They had the two fires, and they also made a couple of arrests because they had plenty of people throughout the building. As they're going up the stairs, they're scurrying about. Now, we followed that up 2 days later and went ahead and posted it. And while we were there, we were confronted by the homeless, and they said, all right, well, we're leaving out of here. I was staying up on the fourth floor with everybody else. So they're staying up there. They're using the linens. So at that point, it becomes public safety situation to the tourists that are visiting here in Daytona Beach. As far as the demolition, we cite them, and the process is they get 20 days to appeal. And he said he's going to appeal. I'll meet with him, and we can go over the process of what they could do to rectify it, just like they went over the process over a year ago, and, of course, there has been not a lot of progress. So in moving forward, we'll deal with the appeal. We'll see what they want to do with the structural engineer, and then that process will follow that route in the same way.
Okay, thank you.
So
you're
the question is, as far as being able to remedy this situation by demolition, if that's what was done, with the minimal amount of time, with diligent effort and
A demolition company could take it down without the recycle process. They could take it down in 30 days. Some could take as long as 4 to 6 months, because then they'll recycle all the concrete and all the steel out of it. One additional thing that I did not say was, as far as the pool, you can see the pool from the side. You don't have to step onto the property to see it. It's got a 3 to 4 foot gap running the whole length of the pool, and you got people that are actually living underneath the pool, you know, the homeless people. So that it's where all the sand has been undermined and out. There was one, as I stepped over, it was sleeping down there with the comforter in their box of cereal. So when it gets to this point, that's when us as a city,
absolutely,
we have to
step. The safety of not just the tourist, but also of the homeless person himself and the rest of the citizens that walk by. It really is a huge public safety issue. So, Mr. Jackson, what I would like to know is, we are here, and the violation is failure to maintain roof,
if
windows,
I, if
and...
I, if I can say that I'm not allowed to cross-examine the building official.
Yes.
First of all, we're going on a tangent. We've already found this in other lines.
Right.
What we're doing today, we're rehearing the case again. The issue is whether or not it has been done, things done since the last date, depending on the clients or not. They said they're not his opportunity, he wants to cross-examine them, said they do. And that's the issue with us. Are they not compliant or not? If they're not in compliance, we want to give them more time, we want them to supervise. That's the issue. So we've already
right.
decided that. There have to be other issues of the roof, the windows,
right.
and the
correct.
Evidence.
Yes.
The pool is not in front of us.
Right.
Well, and that would, those were my questions. Because if I understand it correctly, the building official never set foot on this property until recently, and so any testimony that he has lacks any foundation or knowledge that is applicable to the notice and the issues that are presented. And he also testified that there's cracks and the stairways, decks, and porches and balconies are falling down, and so I would respectfully submit to this board that they are not, in fact, falling down. That Mr. Harrington himself said it when he said, I'm not aware what, we haven't been presented anything. Mr. Harrington himself, his statement belies the fact that this property is in compliance, is out of compliance relative to the balconies, or at least supports the notion that insufficient evidence has been presented to this board that there's a lack of compliance.
The way
it should read is, the way this notice should read is, the room, the balcony for room X is damaged. The window for room Y is damaged, and then we remedy those. What has happened here...
At some point, do I get a chance to talk,
yes.
Madam Chair?
I want to be clear.
Excuse me, I want this to stop now.
Okay.
Well, may I justify one thing? Because I don't know doesn't speak for the whole board, so
right.
don't use me as an excuse
right.
for what I said.
Well,
I'm going to ask our board.
Mr. Harrington, for singling that out, but it's exactly what I'm trying to point.
I want order now. I want this has been going on for close to an hour. We are here to either, we have already found the building in non-compliance. We are here to either give this company more time or to fine them. That's it. That is the scope of what we're doing. Is that right?
That's correct.
I've heard enough, well, I think the whole board and the whole city at this point has heard enough evidence of what's going on here.
Madam Chair, if I can just clarify one thing.
One thing.
And this, I differ a little bit with Ms. Cicino in that what we need to hear in terms of evidence is evidence that supports your fine, if indeed you're going to find that they are in violation and that the that they meet the criteria that's in statute as well as in our code, which is looking at the efforts that they've made to come into compliance, which is what we've been talking about, the which includes the orders that you've given from the bench in terms of actions to be taken, the egregiousness of the violation, and the general history and status of the violator. So those are the things that you're considering as we talk about this case. And the status right now as far as what's going on with the condemnation, that's a whole different line. That's a parallel, that's not the same as what's happening in code. The code board action goes forward on its own. What happens with the condemnation goes separate on its own. The recommendation of the city as it relates to the code action is that time, it's been enough time. January was when you gave the first order for compliance. You asked for a report last month. The compliance date was for this month, and it's not in compliance. And the efforts to come into compliance expressed by council is delayed by all of these other things about insurance. We've heard all of those before. We've considered those issues in the past. But where we are today is that because of the issues of health, safety, and welfare, the city's position is a $1,000 fine should be imposed to a maximum of $45,000.
Any more comments from the board? The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $1,000 per day against the respondent effective today, April 12, 2018, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $45,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House, is there a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
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 Like, sign, opposed. Roll call vote. All right.
Mr. Weatherholt?
Yes.
Ms. Kirby?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Ms. House?
Yes.
Ms. Hines?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. This case is done for the day. Yeah, the vote was 6-0 because Mrs. Hines is not here. All right, we're going to go back to Lien Review 1, CEB 0504-102 at 349 Fulton Street. Rosalie Akins, care of Isaac Akins, who, and the new owner is Anthony Rangasamy.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
Good morning.
Anthony Rangasamy, my home address, 145 Diane Drive, Ormond, 32176.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm you're protecting the truth, you're about to provide us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to just hear a short review for the history of this case. This is a total amount that's owed is $1,328.89 is the remainder of the lien.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, as you can see, actually, lien review number one and lien review number two, it's the same property owner, same owner, different properties. The basic situation is, isn't it different properties? Oh, I'm sorry, same property, same owner,
right.
Same property.
Different properties.
Mm-hmm. But two cases. And the circumstances is that purchase tax deed, right? And so as part of this tax lien process, there were excess proceeds that the lien accrued to $15,014 when we include the recording fee on lien review one. And then on lien review two, it accrued to $15. So it maximized them both. The violations for on lien one was in 2004. Lien two was in 2007. So these are two properties that are set in non-compliance with liens accruing for over a decade. Current requester for lien review now owns these properties. They have been renovated, improved. The inspector reports that they're in compliance and are by appearance nice properties. The request from the city is on lien review one, that a fine of $500 be imposed. On lien review two, a fine of $1,000. So for the two lien reviews, a total of $1,500. I'm sorry, reduced. I said imposed.
Right.
That'd be reduced to $500 on the one, which is, and $1,000 on the second.
So are we have two different houses, or
no,
just two
I
different?
That
it's one house.
One house. Two different orders.
Two different orders.
From two different periods. Okay. One from 2004, the other from 2007.
Okay. Yeah, okay. The other case, which I didn't... Are we considering these together or separately? All right, the second case that we're considering the lien review is case number SMG 0207-43. So we're going to combine these.
Yes, all on one property in terms of the obligation was, and the recommendation is taking the whole picture, which is,
right,
if we took it as a whole, it would be $16,328, and reducing that to the sum of $1,500,
right,
it's approximately about a 10%. That's the 10%.
Okay, do I have comments from the board before we go any further with this?
Yes.
Go ahead.
When you bought the property, you paid the tax bill?
Yes, sir. I bought it for $22,000.
$22,000. You paid absolutely nothing against the liens directly?
There was excess proceeds from the tax sale, which...
How much?
It was $18,000 altogether. $5,000 of the $18,000 went to utility liens, and there was an excess of $13,000.
And that went to the tax lien?
That's to the city right now, who's asking.
But not for... That went for the back taxes.
Back taxes were already paid. $18,000 was the leftover out of the $22,000 paid to the tax lien.
Okay.
$18,000. So they kept their own.
Okay.
Whatever it was, and then the rest came to y'all.
Yes, sir. And just for a clear number, that was $13,671.11. Was the excess proceeds that the city was able to receive against the lien. That's why the lien. The only amount on lien review one is the $1,328.
Yeah, the other $5,000 I was talking about went to utility liens. That's why I was saying
$18,000. Okay.
I mean, I've printed pictures up and all that.
We can see those pictures. The house looks nice.
Oh,
when did you purchase?
No, these are my own. That's just the front. If you guys want to see them, it's the inside and stuff like that.
When did you purchase this property?
Right before Christmas of 2017.
Okay.
And within a month, I had all my violations and safety concerns fixed.
Okay. Well, thank you for fixing
You were aware
that.
Of the liens at that time? They were...
Yeah, you know what? I looked at it, sir, but I didn't realize it was that much of an extent of the penalties,
wow,
you know what I mean, that I seen? Because what I seen on the public records, that, you know, buyer beware type deal, it didn't look that much to me. So I misread it. It was my fault, to be honest with you. But all I'm asking for here today, I'm not going to even, after what we just went through for an hour, I'm not going to bore you with my statement here. You know, basically, me and my wife here today, who took the morning off, we spent pretty much everything we had you know, fixing the house to where it is. Two separate things, so y'all can, you know, if you want to look at it.
No,
but
I mean,
it's up to date.
Yeah.
It's up to date. It's brand
yeah.
new, basically.
Yeah, great.
You know, I got quite a few properties, and I've dealt with quite a few of these code enforcement officers, Mr. Stinson and a couple other ones. I fix my stuff like that. You know, I spend my own cash. Don't wait on insurance. I just do it. They pay me back. You know, I like to people to live like I do.
Mm-hmm. What is your intent with these properties? Do you plan on selling them or renting them?
Well, we actually plan on renting it, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just don't know at this point. But according, I just have a question for this gentleman. So reducing it to $1,500 or whatever, would that, with what you have in the XCs of $13,000, would that satisfy everything?
No, that would be over and above whatever we've already seen. So we're asking for $1,500. That's what our request is.
So $1,500 besides the $13,000 you already
yes.
have?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what I was asking for was just to take the $13,000 and just satisfy it all out. I mean, that's basically what I was asking. Because we pretty much financially exhausted behind this property. So to answer Mrs. House's question, we'd love to keep the house, you know, as a rental or something like that and keep it up to date, safety.
Do you have other rentals?
Yes, ma'am, we do.
How many?
We have three altogether, but I do property management in town. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I've got one of the faces here. And they're all up to date. I have 15 other ones that I manage myself. So I'd like to keep it under my jurisdiction.
Right. It looks great, and the inside looks good.
I keep them all like that.
You did a nice job. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, but this one I can't do with any other melodies or anything like that. I'm just exhausted financially behind it.
Okay, any other comments from the board? All right. The chair is going to, let's do lien review number one, CEB 0504-102. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $500, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
No, I'm not saying. You've already gotten $13,000, so we're not reducing the lien to $500.
Say that again. I'm sorry?
You've already gotten $13,000 on this lien.
Right.
So we're going to reduce it to $500, because we reduced it to $500.
Yep. Well, actually, no. Yes, we've gotten the $13,000, but
the original
lien amount was $15,000. So it's a remainder of $1,300 that's remaining.
The lien to
$13,500. No.
No. We're reducing the lien to $500. The remainder of the lien.
I believe what the requester, and he can nod or shake, but I believe what the requester was requesting is that if we looked at this as a whole, which would make it a $30,000 between the two, that we take the $13,000 and let that satisfy everything. So basically a waiver of whatever's remaining. Yeah, he's asking to waive everything remaining. We're asking $500 on the first and $1,000 on the second.
So is that clear? To everyone? All right. Go ahead.
Oh, I just have one more quick thing to say before you guys. This, none of these were my leads. This is something that, you know, we just walked into, so just please.
Mr. Jackson, is there a way for somebody who is not a legal expert or that you could phrase these things so it would be a little easier to understand when you have Mr. Sino asking questions and you're asking questions, everybody's, because it's, could it, the language be a little clearer next time we have one of these? That's all I'm asking for. I don't,
certainly, Mr. Harrington.
I mean, there.
I'm just concerned about the motion because reducing the lien to $500, we've already gotten $13,000.
You know, we're reducing the remainder of the lien.
Yeah, I understand.
Okay. I'm going to amend my own motion or amend what I'm going to ask for a motion. The chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the remainder of the lien to $500, subject to being paid within 30 days, with a fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Harrington, second. Ms. Purdy, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. In case number SMG020743, the chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the remainder of the lien to $1,000, subject to being paid within 30 days of the fine. We'll revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
I would like to see the same amount paid on this one as the prior one. I feel that this is one that's going to be a big loss to the city, and I feel like that the first one was $13,000 with an additional five, and this one should be as well.
The first one was $15,000.
Amendment or motion to make $500. Need a second and then put on the amendment.
We haven't made a motion yet. I just said I'd entertain. Yeah. Well, would you like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we propose a fine of $13,000.
Reduce the you want to reduce the lien to $13,000.
Yes.
Okay. Is there so? All right, there's a motion from Mrs. House. Is there a second? Motion fails for lack of a second. Someone else? I mean, it's my opinion that at this point, I know the city has understandably lost money on this. We have gotten some money back, and it's close to, I don't know, close to half of what was owed. Would anybody else like to talk about the amount?
What is your recommendation?
$1,000.
It's $1,000. Your recommendation is $1,000.
The recommendation of staff was $1,000 on the second case, basically making it a total of $1,500, which would have been 10% of the amount of the second case. It really, I mean, it was really the same effect of saying waiving the first and 10% of the second. And that's looking at the work and efforts that's been done by this respondent and the now improved condition, and the fact that this this requester had nothing to do with an issue violations or the status of it sitting for the many years that it sat.
I have a quick question. I think I'm a little bit confused. So basically what you're saying is, sir, I would still have to pay another $1,500 plus another $500, so $2,000 out of pocket?
No, $1,500 total out of pocket.
Okay, so that would still come
at this point.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I think the amount of $1,000 the city's requesting is a little low.
Okay. What would you suggest?
I would recommend $5,000.
Would you like to put that in the form of a motion?
I'll make the motion to this one here at $5,000.
To reduce the amount of the lien to $5,000.
To $5,000.
Okay. We have a motion from Mr. Weatherholtz. Is there a second? Second, Ms. Purdy. All in favor, say aye. Roll call, please.
Mr. Weatherholtz?
Yes.
Ms. Purdy?
Yes.
Mr. Jennings?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Ms. House?
No.
Ms. Pendick?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 2.
Okay, 4-2. Motion passes. Okay. Okay.
New.
All right. Yes. The board passed a motion to reduce the remainder of the lien on the first case to $500 and to reduce the lien from $15,000 to $5,000 in the second case.
Okay, so
what
does that
mean? There'll be total left of $5,500 owed to the city on the lien.
So I would still have to owe that out of pocket, even though I came forward and corrected all the violations in favor for this, and Mr. Weatherholt pretty much decided to fine me another $5,000? Mm-hmm. So what I'll do is we'll pay y'all the damn dime and keep the property in my own pocket.
Okay. All right. All right, we're going to start case number one. CEB 11-17-142, Nell 4 LLC at 713 Cedar Street. Respondent present?
Yes.
Please state your name and address for the record.
Ben Spivey, 10537 down
Lake. I'm sorry, what is your name, sir?
Ben Spivey.
Ben Spivey.
10537 down Lakeview Circle, Windermere, Florida. Yes.
What is your relation to Nell 4?
I own the company that owns
okay.
Nell 4.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. McCoy and Mr. Jackson, do you want to go over this and tell us what's been done?
Yes, but if I can just get one clarification from Mr. Spivey, because I was asked to get clear on the current ownership of the property. Who currently owns the property?
The ownership is transferred to BMS Holdings. This is, which is the company that owns Nell 4. So currently it's owned by BMS Holdings. And I, Ben Spivey, own BMS Holdings. Okay, this has been going on for a while, so that's what the current ownership is.
So we would move to amend the respondent in the case and add BMS Holdings as a respondent. And I don't know if you have any objections. You can speak to that.
So we need to do that.
If I understand what I believe Mr. Spivey has conveyed, the
would
property.
We need to then recite? Is that going to, or we're just.
What's the property? Do you own the property now?
BMS Holdings.
Are you BMS Holdings?
Yes, Mrs. Pavi.
Yes, sorry, it's BMS Holdings. I'm in Nell 4.
Would you still be your girl to BMS Holdings?
I'm the only single
entity.
It's fine. So it's all right, okay.
So one entity owns the other entity
okay.
that owns
all
the
right,
property.
So we don't have to, all right, we're going to amend.
Just add the additional entity in ownership.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right, now this property, I've also received, and I guess this. I don't know, I guess got it from Mr. Spivey, someone, that they had an order approving a joint stipulation where one of the things that was going on with this property, and I guess I got to back up a little, kind of got a little ahead of myself, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is before you for imposition of a fine. And there was a joint stipulation, as I was about to say, that I have a copy of that, where Nell 4 LLC and the tenants. This was an issue where they had a problem with tenants and needed an eviction. And so ultimately the remedy was they did this joint stipulation and the tenants were supposed to be out by, and the property was supposed to be back in the possession of Mr. Spivey by March 31st. And so with that understanding, the intent of the staff was, and the intent of the staff is still to ask that we amend to the next cutoff to allow Mr. Spivey the opportunity to bring the property into compliance. My understanding from Mr. Spivey, at least from my inspector, is that even though they have this joint stipulation, apparently it wasn't the action didn't take place as required, and there may be some other issues. But the position of staff right now is that this property be that this case be amended to the next cutoff, just to allow now that he's regained possession of the property or was due to regain possession of the property to allow him the time to comply with the order.
You're saying due to receive the property?
He was due to receive the property, and my knowledge coming in was that he received it based on the order, but I'm understanding that he will be testifying or at least expressing that he has not. So
is
I don't
that,
know the details.
That stipulation legally enforceable?
Oh, yeah, this was signed and approved. Yeah, this is signed and ordered by Judge Fields.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so he'll take whatever next actions are necessary on his, you know, so I have to make that decision.
Ben, would you, thank you. Mr. Spivey, let me ask a question. Have you, so is the tenant in or out?
We these pictures were taken yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, so the property looks vacant. We have not been inside the property. As of now, when I was here in February, you gave us 2 months.
Right.
I mentioned to you that his lease was not up until June 30th.
Right.
We effectively negotiated terms with his attorney to try to get him to vacate the property 3 months early, which is March 31st. To
March 31st.
To move along.
Okay.
However, my attorney, John Morey, email this morning is that they have filed the motion, not for disbursement, but the package to the judge today. But as of today, the case is still open and active, and for me not to enter the property for our safety because it's had the pit bulls inside. So we expect that we'll have possession of the property probably in the next week.
Okay.
As you can see, the outside, we did clean up the outside when they left and vacated. When people leave and are evicted,
right,
they don't leave it clean.
Right.
You can see we cleaned up the outside. We just have not gone inside. That's where some of the issues are. So the outside is clean. We're just looking for an extra month or two so we can get inside. We'll probably be in about 2 weeks.
Okay, cool. All right. Any other questions? The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until that would be May 2nd, 2018, to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Okay. Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Have a good day.
Thank you. All right. Case number 2, CEB 12-17-167, Three Oaks Inn. Aha. Uh-huh. Respondent is present. Good morning.
Edward Kearney, 923 North Oleander, general contractor for the owner.
Okay.
Yes, I do. And I brought pictures for a status update.
Okay. We are here for a progress report.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I also have some further information for the board at this time. Mr. Urquhart had asked me to request a structural engineer for the property per the city. We had a structural engineer come from Cocoa Beach because there isn't one currently in Volusia County. So we had a structural engineer, a true structural engineer, not a civil engineer, but a true structural. Yes, a real structural engineer at the request of the city. I've retained one, and Mr. Urquhart has copies of the paperwork. The building is structural. It is sound. They did ask us to replace four concrete bearing shore posts, and we've done that as well. So the building is structurally sound. We have the west side of the building and the south side of the building completely devoid of all the old lap siding. We have new plywood, new Tyvek, and new hardy board cement composite siding being improved as we speak. But through the dedication of the owner, this would never have been done any other way because it's a very costly expense.
So what is your relation to the owner?
I'm the builder.
Builder.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Mr. Jackson and Mr. Reckonzone here. Okay, Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, as you know, this was here for progress report. I believe he gave you that report.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking to try and see what we had for a compliance date.
We don't have a compliance date.
Okay.
What?
Well, are we in
one or just order another?
Please.
When do you feel it'll be?
Well, wait a minute. Let him come up to answer that. How long do you think this project will take?
Every time we open the box up, we find something different, and that was why we hired the structural engineer. Just getting a structural engineer to Daytona is 10 days to 12 days out, and those are business days. So the last time I was in front of this board was February, and it looks like we're going slow, but we've had rain, we've had weather, and we've had relationships with the city that we fostered in order to get this done. So, meaning the structural engineer being hired.
We still need an idea. How long do you think it's going to take?
Someday this year. I'm just being honest with you.
To impose something on a structure this size and the type, the gentleman's right about, every time you open up a wall, something's different.
All right.
And remember, we're putting all new windows in this property as well.
Yeah.
With screens.
Well, any improvement is vastly going to be better than what it was. So I think that giving him a little leeway on the time of completion, I think that we need an update, especially after the structural.
I'll glad to come back in 60 days, bring you more pictures.
Mr. Reconzone, are you satisfied that there has been progress made?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So what is the city recommendation, Mr. Jackson?
Madam Chair, I was reminded that in your last order, we did actually order bi-monthly progress reports through August. He's scheduled to come back before the board in June 14th and then August 9th.
Okay, all right, fine.
And then maybe at that point, we'll be able to determine.
Okay, then we don't need to do anything more with that. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, case number 3, CEB01-18-17. Oh, yeah, the pictures. Do you want your pictures, sir?
Oh, no. Leave them.
JL&W Property of Daytona at 1116 Madison Avenue. Good morning.
Good morning.
What is your name, please?
I'm Mary Lynn Hastings. I'm the property manager for this particular property. And, sure. Yes, I do.
Okay, we'll hear from code and then the tenant. Okay, go ahead. Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that this property had a past issue of a tenant problem. The tenant was evicted on 3-5. They do have a number of things they still need to take care of, and it's recommended by the inspector that we amend to the next cutoff.
What things do they have to take care of?
I'll tend to Mr. Stinson. He can explain any those factual information.
Right. So the tenant was evicted as of the 5th of March. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Go ahead. What would you like to tell us, Mr. Stinson? What needs to be done?
Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector. My qualifications are on file. As you said, the tenant has finally been evicted. And these pictures are from yesterday. They are wide open with the crew. I mean, they've already fixed the exterior. They still have some windows they need to take care of, but the interior is going to need quite a bit of work. The general contractor was on site yesterday, and he assured me that he'd be able to complete this within the next 30 days.
All the permits have been pulled.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of not. Did you want to say anything?
I took this property out.
Well, come up here and speak into the mic, please.
I own Maryland Realty, and I manage over 200 properties in Daytona Beach.
Mm-hmm.
First time I've ever been before this board. I took this on in December from an owner that had been bought it with a tenant in place.
Yeah.
And yeah. So okay. It we will understand. Be brought up to code.
We understand. Okay, thank you. Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until May 2nd, 2018 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
Move.
Second.
Mr. Weatherholt, second. Mr. Harrington, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right. Case number 4 is in compliance. Case number 5, we heard.
and heard and heard. Case number 6.
Please don't be snarky.
02-18-19. Robbie and Wendy Burke at 273 Hartford. Respondent present? Okay. Come forward, please. State your name and address for the record. Are you Robbie?
Robbie Burke, 273 Hartford Avenue.
Do you solemnly swear a friend of the testimony that you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Okay, thank you. Let us hear from Mr. Klieg and Mr. Jackson first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. Was for failure to maintain a roof. This is the primary violation. The inspector reports that the roof permit was issued on April 9th, and so it's not final at this point. So he's asking, the inspector's recommending that the that this case be amended to the next cutoff. The inspector is Tom Klieg, and I turn to Mr. Klieg if you have any factual questions.
All right, Mr. Klieg, we have permits that have been issued.
Yeah, the permit's been issued. Good. I think the work's almost complete, if not because of the
terrific.
Rain.
Yes, thank you.
And it just needs to be final. You know, I don't think there's going to be no issue with it. It'll look good.
Okay. Is the property occupied?
No.
Okay. Okay. All right. Any other questions from the board? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow a respondent until May 2nd, 2018 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Second. Harrington, motion. Mrs. House, Ms. Purdy, second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, case 6 is in compliance. Oh, no, sorry. Case 7 is in compliance. Case 8, CEB 03-18-28. Melnick Lazenby Investments at 828 North Grandview. Is the respondent present? All right. First notified in November. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Tom Klieg. Mr. Klieg reports that the issue here is the failure to obtain the rental license. They had an inspection. They failed the inspection on March 29th. And so there are minor things that need to be repaired, but they're not done yet. So the inspector is recommending that we amend to the next cutoff for the date for them to complete what's necessary to obtain the rental license.
I'm looking at this violation, failure to obtain rental violation. Oh, no. This is failure to maintain. Which one?
Number 8.
Number 8. Sorry, I was getting my addresses confused here. What occupancy limitations? What does that mean? And then there's a dash in room area. I'm confused about what that means.
There was an intent to remove that off of the agenda and strike that. I think that was resolved, but it's not really something that required being heard.
But it is on here.
But it's remedied.
This is a multi-unit.
So could you explain that, though? I'm confused about what that means.
Yes, ma'am. What it is your room occupancy square footage, and it's supposed to be 70 square foot, and this room had 90. I remeasured wrong at the time, so that's why the GUI came into compliance with room occupancy.
And what is still left to be done?
I'm not quite sure. Officer Jones did the inspection. I'm sure he can advise you what's left. I think it's minor.
This is a multi-unit building?
Yes, sir. It's 4 units.
Units? Are they 1 or 2 bedrooms?
It's 2 bedrooms.
Does he have licenses for the other units, or are we just talking about...
No, this is for the whole property.
And he has no licenses?
He's got a license on file, but it failed the rental inspection, and Officer Jones can advise you what it was. It's like a smoke detectors or whatever, windows. But the whole, it's a 1-unit, 4-unit, it's a 4-unit apartment complex, and so they just need 1 RTL license.
Right, okay. For all 4 units.
Right.
So the occupancy limitations have been taken care of, and you missed...
I mismeasured. The rooms look small, and I didn't have my tape measure with me, so I did it by
It looks small for what? I mean...
Well, at the time of the violation, when I was did the inspection, it looked small for a bedroom. Okay.
What is the actual data?
It's a minimal...
Yeah, it's a minimal square foot.
Yeah, okay. And what is that?
70 square feet. And this was 90.
For the record, what is the actual date of first notified? It wasn't 11/30/2018.
Actual violation for the rental was first notification. I'm sorry, it was 11/30/17.
Okay, so it's a year now.
No, 6 months or less.
Six months. Yes.
11/30/17.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Are there any other comments about this? Yes, we will take testimony.
Do you want to hear Officer Jones? What it needs
to Mr. Jones. Yeah, right after. Let Mr. Jones just have a seat, please, Mr. Remark, and we'll have Mr. Jones. What can you tell us?
Mark Jones, Neighborhood Services. We did do a rental inspection of the four units. Each one had some deficiencies, but they were very minor. A window that wouldn't stay up, one that didn't have screens, a smoke detector. So it was no. And they're given 30 days to correct that, and they'll call for a re-inspection. So
okay.
No other issues.
Okay. Mr. Remark.
Tracy Remark, 815 North Oleander Avenue, and I also own 301 Riverview Boulevard.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but truth?
Yes, ma'am, I do. Okay. First, I want to give testimony on this building because I think there are bigger issues here. And I'm intimately acquainted with this building in two ways. There was a gentleman that lived there. This is in the late 90s. He was homebound. He was in the downstairs front apartment. He had an Afghan. He needed help from neighbors taking care of his dog. I've been in this building along with the neighbors. These were one-bedroom apartments, all four of them. They were one-bedroom in the 90s. When I purchased with my family members the apartment building I own at 301 Riverview Boulevard, which is around the corner, this is one of the buildings that we actually looked at. It wasn't listed for sale in MLS, but you sort of know other multiple property owners. And we went in there, and those were one-bedroom apartments.
And when was this?
This was, I was going to say, we bought our property at Riverview in 2011, so we were there at the end of 2010, the beginning of 2011.
Okay.
All four of these units were one-bedroom apartments in the 90s and in 2011. Mm-hmm. The reason both those dates are so important, I'll get to that in a minute, that the new owners apparently, when the inspector originally went in there, when it was called in as a code complaint for construction materials going in and doors and things like that, was told by the new owners who bought it, I believe it was last December, or December 16, I have it somewhere, and you'll see that in a minute, but was told that they bought it as two-bedroom apartments, which means Mr. Bryant, that owned it before and has owned it since 2000, would have had, at some point, illegally had to have put in those second bedrooms. And that some point would have had to happen between 2011, when I was there, and when they bought it, which was last December. So I find that, actually, I have a hard time believing that, but additionally, I have a hard time believing that because I'd like to pass this out to you guys, if I could. There's five of them, so share. This is testimony on other...
Wait.
What is this?
It's some of what I'm showing that shows these are one-bedroom apartments.
Yeah, but that's not in front of us
today. I know, but what's in... Okay, what's in front of you, I don't think you can... What I'm saying is I don't believe that you can confirm a rental license on a property that is nonconforming, that it expanded a nonconforming
right.
use.
But that's not an issue for the board.
Okay, so how do we deal with this? Because
I don't deal with this.
Okay. So this is.
What it would be at like the support kitchens do their own violations. You can't do that.
Okay.
Because they come back to us later as a case. So you would take the staff, tell them to believe that there's a violation by converting one bed to two bedrooms. And they'll go, if there is, and they'll bring the case in front of us.
Okay, so does that mean, because I just wanted to make sure, since they're not, since they don't meet the rental license, that does mean, so I'm very clear on this, that this board today cannot find them in compliance for that, correct?
They're not in compliance.
Okay, so and you can't find, okay, so right. This has to come back to you for that.
They bring it back to
me. Right. So I would meet with them.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Do I meet with legal?
No.
Who do I meet with?
We can't tell you.
Okay. Oh, I meet with Mr. Klig? Okay. Thank you.
That's a start.
Okay. Because I started with development services. Okay.
Yeah, it would be like if you brought somebody to us, we would be issuing a case. The staff doesn't allow us to do that.
Okay.
But once they get supervision, there is a case they bring it to us.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So what we're ruling on today
is that... I'm done here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Failure to obtain a rental license. That's it. The other two things have been... are not an issue. All the... Additional 30 days.
Yes, that's correct.
Yes, but it's staff that we need to amend to the next cutoff.
Yeah. Okay. So we're just going to amend this. Yeah. Is that? The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until May 2nd, 2018, to come into compliance and return to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Case number 8. C9. Sorry, I'm getting my numbers confused here. Case number 9, CEB11-17-158, AF126, at 126 South Oleander. Respondent present. I think someone showed up before. A Mr. Rice or Mr. Bretzel or either of them here? Mr. Rice? Are you Mr. Rice? Mr.
No.
Bretzel here? So nobody's here. Okay. No one's here. So we need to hear from Mr. Jackson and then Mr. Jones.
Yes. Madam Chair, just again for just announcing on this case, it's AF126 South Oleander Residency Trust dated
126 right.
16 and
right.
Stonegate Property LLC.
Right.
So.
Okay.
And this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that he's heard nothing from the respondent. The respondent did paint the building, he says, but he hasn't done any repairs. And he hasn't pulled any permits, and there's no applications for permits on file. So we're asking for a $250 day fine to be imposed to a maximum of $20,000.
So no repairs and no permits since the last time we were here. And this notification went out last August, correct?
Yes.
Mr. Jones, do you have anything to add to this?
Nothing that okay. We've had.
And
no
we've
contact.
Given them extra time because we had to re-notice because of the name change or the additional name. So there has been extra time given already. Okay?
Yeah, this was the case in the redevelopment, wasn't Mr.
Yes,
Berger
that's right.
Here
Mr.
last
Berger
time?
Mr. Berger was here last time, right. Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $250 per day against the respondent effective today, April 12th, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $20,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Was
aye.
It 25,000 or 20?
25.
20.
It's 20. All right.
Because of the value. Okay. Did I say 25?
No.
No, you said 20.
All right. All right. So, motion. Mrs. House, second. Mr. Weatherholtz, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Oh, yeah.
Case number 10. CEB 11-17-160, Rosetta Henderson. Anyone present? Working without permits at 785 Tennessee Street. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that this property remains in noncompliance, but the what does that say? Permit. Oh. Right? That's the permit was issued on 312?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was permit issued on 312. And the respondent also submitted a no rental letter indicating that they won't be renting the property, but they have the permit and just need to bring the rest of the property into compliance. The inspector is asking for an amendment to the next cutoff. And I turn to Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones, is the inoperable vehicle gone?
Yes, it is. It has been removed.
The weeds?
The yard and everything has been cleaned up. The outside storage, the tenant has been removed from the property, and Ms. Henderson's planning on her intent, she said, is to move back into the home.
Okay.
And they have the permits to do the work.
Yeah, they have the permits have been issued after the fact permit. She just needs to get an inspection.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until May 2nd, 2018 to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, case number 11, Khalil Land LLC, CEB 01-18-08, 1222 Essex Road. Respondent present. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Mark Jones. Mr. Jones reports that this property remains in noncompliance. The tenant has outside storage and parking in the yard. Now the owner has informed Mr. Jones that he is under contract with the tenant that's supposed to close in May, but it's not really all that relevant. It's as of today, it's in noncompliance, and in fact, the tenant is the one that's doing the actions that has not been remedied. So the recommendation of staff is $100 per day fine to a maximum of $15,000.
Okay. All right, Chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $100 per day against the respondent effective April 12, 2018, today, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion?
I have a question.
What? Excuse me?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
They do not have a license, either license. Can we not find them immediately on that, whether there's a contract or not?
There's no tenant in there, is there?
Yeah. Is there?
Oh, there is a tenant.
Oh. Am I on the right case? You're looking at me. Like
11.
That's what I'm looking at. It says failure to obtain residential rental license.
Well, they do have their business tax receipt. They paid the...
Oh, they have
they paid the fee, so that would eliminate the business tax receipt violation. But they are non-compliance and everything else.
All right.
Okay.
So those two things are done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't take care of the rental license.
They don't have their rental license, correct?
That's correct.
And I think in cases like that, whether they're selling it or not, that part of it they could be fined immediately.
Well, now, if I may, I'm sorry, Mr. Ms. Harrington, our recommendation is that they be fined.
Right.
Well, the fact that they say they're selling it is just information.
Right.
But it's not
all right.
That, we're
that solves that. Down.
Right. Okay. So the chair will entertain a motion to impose a fine of $100 per day, effective today, April 2nd, 2018, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches the maximum of $15,000. Is there such a motion? All right, if there's, we don't like that motion, is there a discussion, please?
It, to me, it seems like an effort and futility. You know, so often these are up for sale as soon as they're up for fines. And then the next guy buys it and asks for
the reduction.
To reduce it or eliminate it. And that,
but he has to bring, that next person has to bring it into compliance. So the building is actually in compliance.
I agree. That's right.
They paid the business license, but not the rental, and it's still being rented.
Right.
So,
are they still parking on the front lawn?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah,
you saw pictures. Yeah,
they are.
Yeah, but that changes from day to day.
Yard. And if you recall, last month when Mr. Blake was here, the property owner, he was trying to negotiate a deal with the tenant. He was going to pay him to move out, and that's why we had granted him an extension before.
Right.
He notified me yesterday afternoon by email that he now has a contract with the tenant to sell the property to the tenant.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
But the violation still
right
until the
right
it still exists.
All right. So our option here is to fine him or not to fine him. If we and we can decide how much. The city has recommended $100 a day. Up to $15,000, we can change the amount per day or leave it at 100. So, should I restate that motion, or do you want to up the?
I think up the ante a little bit.
Okay.
$200. $200 a day.
Okay.
All right. That's the motion. You've made the motion.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll second it.
Impose a fine of $200 per day, so this is the motion, effective today and can continue on until it reaches $15,000 or compliance is achieved. So a motion is made by Mr. Weatherholtz. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Mr. Harrington, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. Now, we can take a little break, and if there's anybody here, and I really mean a little break, like 5 minutes, no longer. If anybody's here whose case hasn't been heard, if you have a new case, you come up and please see our board secretary, June, and she'll let me then know that you're here and you're waiting to be heard, and we'll hear your cases first when we resume, and we'll resume right before 11 o'clock. Thank you. It wasn't your name, right? Yeah, I didn't know what she was going to. I thought she was going to test the line. Yeah. What? Okay.
That was an hour. That was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was like I had words today, or somebody else said something.
Right.
I believe we would have still been here.
Just getting paid, right?
Yeah, that's right, we're not. Right, I mean, really, that is the end. That really was. And I kept trying to go back to it. But when something like that, I mean, we have ordered, well, it's always been in front of us. They would say the rule is not secure or something. It would be unreliable.
What kind of speech, right?
I don't think that that's not one of the issues
right now.
Because, see, most, you know, most architects do building.
Right.
Architectural. But structural engineering is. You sell it to the phone, these ones freaking around now. So, what are you going to do when he buys it?
Yeah. I told her, I said, when you see him, because she says she's going to see him, I'm really complaining a lot about you. He's a very sweet lady.
Yeah, I got it.
To sell it, get it over with.